at GBQ, we're always counting. Now we're making your time count with this episode of Empower Hour. Start the clock.
Today I am with Katie Tomball, who transforms workplace culture and lives through health and happiness, founder and CEO of the Wellness Collective, and as I've come to know her, the fundraising chair for the Byron Saunders Foundation's upcoming dance event, Dance with Our Columbus Stars. Welcome, Katie.
Hey, thanks.
So I want to talk about your business first. I'd never in my life envisioned I would ever be on a podcast talking about my dancing. I think you found Byron Saunders through your business efforts. And so let's start there. I understand the Wellness Collective helps businesses and individuals with a variety of wellness services. You want to maybe talk about that from a business standpoint first?
Sure. So I can give you a little context. I was recruited into workplace wellness, into a human resources role based on my background being in the health, fitness, and well-being industry. And so once I had a taste of that, meaning I got to step into the workday of hundreds of people and support them, I thought, this is meaningful work. So I had an entrepreneurial itch. I actually started another business model first, more of like a boutique fitness studio. While I figured out the branding and everything and the vision for our Wellness Collective. So here we are, and now we are hired by Human Resources as a wellness vendor partner, right? Because HR oftentimes sees the value in investing in employee health and well-being, but doesn't necessarily have the bandwidth or the manpower, woman power, person power to execute it. So that's where we step in.
So step in and help with what kinds of things in a business? If I'm a business owner and sure. I feel like wellness is a problem or culture, I would assume you help with some cultural issues in terms of building wellness.
Yeah. So I sort of describe it as we have two audiences. So the first audience is the business or human resources and Wellness Collective consulting with human resources and leadership on the strategy, right? How do we want to pour into people? What outcomes will people and the business benefit from if we're doing a phenomenal job? So there's the strategic component, but then we also provide all of the programming. So what that means is that we are writing programs for behavior change and all the things you would expect, right? Physical, mental, emotional health. We also provide the staffing. So we are sending teams of people into the workplace and the workday to then deliver the strategy that we've recommended. So it's great. We get to step into all different industries and workdays, and there's never a dull moment. Every day is different. And it feels like we're adding massive value, not only to the organization, but the individual contributors within it.
So we started this podcast thinking that we were going to talk about innovation and conscious capitalism and how that empowers growth. And I haven't taken count, probably should, working for an accounting firm. I think about a third have brought the labor piece in. And that's been a particularly big issue, workforce development, workforce health, with all of the, you know, it's not just the pandemic, it's all the crazy that's gone on the last couple of years and doesn't seem to be subsiding. How did that push to work from home and people coming back, not quite coming back? How did that affect your business? Have you seen an uptick in need?
Oh, where do we start? I'll make this a very long story short. I, much like thousands, hundreds of thousands of other, millions of other, I don't know, other business owners thought, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And in the immediate moment, employers, especially HR, had so much to process and figure out that we were basically paused. You know, we were told, you know, hold that thought, whatever contract we were delivering, just pause for us while we figure this out and we'll revisit what's possible. So it didn't take that long. It was probably 30 days of pausing. And in the meantime, we're brainstorming, what does this look like? How do we shift everything to virtual and have the same impact? Because truth be told, one of our core differentiators was being on site. And we had a very strong directive, no vendors on site. So use that time to figure out and reimagine our services and programs and so on and so forth. And thank goodness we did, because to your point, or where I think you're headed, is that the workday was turned on its head sideways. And I firmly believe that the workday will never be the same. There are so many silver lining moments that I think have come out of that. But fast forward, end of 2020, maybe, and we had so much work because there was this massive awakening around we need to do more and better to support people physically, mentally, emotionally, and beyond. How do we take care of our people? And that was a message I'd always tried to get across. Like, we need to be doing our due diligence. It's the right thing to do. And then fortunately, we're able to work with more groups now, I think, as a result of what we've all been through.
So there's an advantage to being able to figure the hybrid delivery of your own services out.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
And I tend to agree with you. I don't think we're going to go back. You know, we talk about going back to where things were, and that's history. You know, it's and it being in a tech world, we can do our work anywhere. We do security testing for a firm in Hong Kong. We have a client in South Africa. We have a client in Ireland. I've got clients in Columbus that I've worked with for 25 years that want me to do it all remote now. And yet you've got, you know, you have to break bread with people and have a drink and interact to connect. And so that those two things don't fit together. And there's obviously a lot of frayed nerves and mental health issues that have arisen because of some of the isolation. So it'll be interesting how this works moving forward, particularly with a business like yours.
Yeah, it's really shortened our sales cycle. It used to be there were a lot of conversations that had to happen to get to yes on starting launching a wellness program. And now everything's happening much faster. I think we all learned that we can deliver and implement things far faster than we ever gave ourselves credit for. And so for small business, we are saying thank you, because it used to be a very tedious process for us. And I think now we're no longer having to convince organizations that this is a good idea, you know, that selling them on the idea of a wellness program. I think people are fully enrolled now. And so now it's a matter of, do you choose us, and how can we partner together?
I think as employers, either from my perspective as a department head, and then from clients' perspectives, we've had to really think hard about how we take care of people in a different environment and different, you know, I have a couple people on my team that have young kids, and they're in the office more than those of us that don't. And you have to understand how to be productive and take care of each other and take care of the employee. And that'll help retention. And that's the great migration, I guess it's called. That retention thing has become a big deal. So you must be a part of that, the tool in some people's toolbox to help with retention.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And my hope is that the employee genuinely feels like, wow, my employer really cares about us, because they are pouring into us in all of these different ways. And my workday feels like it supports my health and happiness. So that's the big vision. And I believe it can be a retention benefit and a differentiator, right? If one workplace has a supportive workday with lots of ways to be well layered into the day and like massive encouragement to take care of yourself, and another workplace has terrible boundaries and rise and grind mentality, it's going to drive people away. So,
and that'll correct itself over time anyway, as those firms that need to adjust. I feel blessed where I'm working that we have that supportive environment, but some organizations still have more to learn. So they go to wellnesscollective.com, and you might be a part of that solution from a business standpoint, but you do some things with individuals as well.
Yeah. So what's fun about our work is, again, we step into so many different work days. And so through that, we're a highly relational company. We are effective in what we do if people know us and trust us. And so we really work hard to establish rapport. And so what will happen is people might meet us through their employer, but then seek us out for additional support beyond what the employer is providing. So that looks like mental health counseling, health coaching, personal training types of services, fitness services. And that feels great too, to know that we've got a little something for everybody. We've got the B2B and the B2C. So that feels good.
You've got a long list of things. The thing that stood out to me was the wellness retreats. I was like, oh, I've never heard of that. So maybe I need to go on a wellness retreat just to check out. I do my backpack every year with friends, and we had actually a canoeing trip this year, but that stepping away and disconnecting is so important. And you offer that as one of the many things that you've got on your list.
Yeah, that's really fun work for me, because leaders always have retreats. There's offsites and onsites and leadership meetings in fun parts of the country. And so we do a lot of customized work, really hearing what leadership or the organization is going through, and how do we support leaders, because they have a unique workday and different demands. So sometimes it looks like that. And sometimes it looks like us hosting something where we're just encouraging leaders to get together. And again, like you said, step away. And my big encouragement there for anyone who's listening is, if you are a leader and you have teams, modeling self-care and modeling healthy habits will give your teams permission to do the same. It just blows my mind how many people need, unfortunately, quote unquote, permission to leave their desks. Like, please go and work out at lunchtime. Take a little bit of time to yourself when you need to process or recharge. You know, a lot of people feel, especially after all we've been through, they feel this need to be on demand and always available. And there's just such blurred boundaries. So I feel very strongly that leadership can model healthy habits, which then makes it safe for other people to do the same.
That's a good point. It's a great point. The office is in the other room. Problem with working from home, you never truly leave the office.
Yeah, the stats on that are wild, how much the workday is longer. And people really miss that precious transition time of getting in the car and having sweet silence while they drive from point A to B.
I was talking about that today with a client, is that, you know, Teams meetings are back to back to back to back. And you can't, you know, open the sunroof and crank the music up and, you know, drive around town and call into the office and say, I need help with this. And then forget about everything for 15 minutes. It's just constant on.
Yeah, exactly. Back to back virtual meetings are a bit much some days. Wears me out.
So I know you've got a lot of other business irons in the fire. I'm very proud of it now. A hat that I bought at one of the dance studios where I'm practicing that says dancer, artist, athlete, which people that know me have absolutely cracked up seeing it. But you've got some other irons in the fire from a business standpoint. You seem to be an entrepreneur that does a little bit of everything. Is there anything that we've missed outside of the Wellness Collective? I know you.
That's right. Well, I identify as a creative. One of my top five strengths is ideation and strategy. So I stay in this place of curiosity. And if something piques my interest, or if something gets me really excited, or I feel passionate about something, I have this habit of turning it into a business idea or developing it into a revenue stream. So I like to create, I like to put new things out into the world. And so sometimes it's a business passion project, sometimes it's a philanthropic passion project. I grew up dancing and aspired to dance professionally, and then had an aha moment that wasn't maybe the best vision for myself. And that's when life unfolded differently. So this passion that I've always had for dance has at times been a profession, right? I can be a dance teacher or teach a dance fitness workout, but it's also just a passion of mine in terms of being my sport and my art. Like, to me, dance is where sport and art collides, and that's what makes it a uniquely beautiful expression. So I did create that hat that says dancer, artist, athlete, because for me, it checks all the boxes. So I have an apparel line. I say I want to wear my heart on my sleeve, like literally. So all of my apparel references dance and my passion for dance, and I continue to teach dance. More classical dance. I do pro-am competitive ballroom. I joke that I had an early midlife crisis, and so it steered me into ballroom dancing. I was watching Dancing with the Stars and said, I want to do that. That looks sexy. That looks glamorous. That looks fun. I want to do that. So that kind of took me from classical dance to ballroom dance. So yeah, I stay active with dance and fitness and this apparel brand, and then yeah, philanthropic.
Well, I was going to call you out because I knew the philanthropic part. You mentioned it. It's not all just about making money.
No.
NALBO, the National Association of Women Business Owners here locally, recognized you, the Member of the Year this year. I know you've got your philanthropic activities around remembrances for your dad, and we'll get to that. Let's talk about both those things real quick. What's your relationship with NALBO? From what I understand about the organization, it's a very important organization here in town.
Yeah. So gosh, so many great things to know about NABO. And this is great exposure for us because we're still not a household name, but NABO has been around for decades. It's National Association of Women Business Owners, and it's a national organization with chapters in local markets. So obviously we have a Columbus chapter. Not that long ago, we were named the largest chapter in the country, which is kind of mind-blowing. Like you might think a larger city or...
But you know, I don't think that's a Columbus thing. So I'm involved in conscious capitalism. And you know Haley from NABO.
Yes, I do.
She's president. And we're the largest conscious capitalism chapter in the country. There are a couple, two or three security professional organizations that I'm aware of or affiliated with. I don't go to them as much anymore. They're the largest in the country. It just seems to be a Columbus thing.
There's so much opportunity. There's so many reasons. I mean, we see the headlines, right? Why different employers are choosing to be here. There's lots of reasons why. But yeah, you know, women in business are aplenty here. And so anyways, the NABO Columbus chapter, I knew of the organization, but to be honest, the first 10 years of my business, I was so busy hustling to create, to acquire clients, to deliver what I sold. And I was so in the business that I wasn't so much working on the business in the way that I am able to now. So now I've been a member for 5 years, and I wish I would have started a lot sooner. So I've been really involved. I've been on the board. I've been chair of membership. I'm a real people person, so I've really enjoyed that. I've stepped up and volunteered in a variety of ways, primarily to get people connecting and collaborating. That's kind of my other superpowers. I'm really good at introducing people, and that brings me a lot of joy. So I'm really passionate about what NABO stands for. It's really about just making sure that women have equal opportunities for bringing their visions to life. And they give us a voice in terms of public policy that we wouldn't normally have, mm-hmm. both at the national and state level. So, you know, I'm not hanging out at the state house or anything, but I appreciate that we have that representation there. That allows me to be in my business, which is my superpower.
My perspective is I was an entrepreneur before I joined GBQ. No matter how many people are surrounding you, you're alone. And I think stereotypically men have been better at building networks. And NABO, from an outsider's perspective, NABO seems to be that network platform that an entrepreneur who's, you know, running and gunning on their own needs that support. And that's what I see. I understand some of the legislative activities and some other things, but my view through some of the clients I have that are NABO members is it gives them that platform, that network that's important to for an entrepreneur, so you don't feel like you're so alone as you're working through things.
Absolutely. I joke that your family is not who you want to talk to necessarily, because half the family members will say, "You're doing what? You're doing self-employed what?" Like, it's just so scary and risky to them.
I would never do that, which means you should never do that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's slide on to talk about, I think it's a run that you do in the works of your dad.
Yeah. So this was year 3 of the Dr. Tomba Dash Family 5K and Fun Run. So this passion project resulted from, honestly, my experience of losing a parent and losing my father far sooner than anyone ever could have predicted. You know, he was an incredibly healthy person for his age and was still working full time and exercised and ate right and had no chronic anything. And it was just a real shock. So part of my grieving process, I'll say, and part of my attempt to make sense of things and to unite my siblings was I pitched the idea of something in memorial, you know, something in his name, with the intent that I thought he'd be working another decade. He wanted to work until he was 100 years old. And I said, if we can establish something in his name that can fund the work that other people are doing, then to me, that establishes the legacy and the missed years that we didn't get with him. So then the question became, what does this look like? You know, am I really starting a nonprofit? No. My brother made the great recommendation to work with the Westerville Education Foundation because they are already equipped and established for this type of work and funding. And so that's the direction we went. And we do have some past history with Westerville, my dad being a former superintendent. And so that's how that kind of came to be. And my dad, I attribute his modeling of healthy behaviors, him exercising, me watching him exercise for decades. And, you know, he was always positioned as this healthy thing that we just do. And so I started exercising at a very young age. He was a runner. He had all five kids active. And I thought this is where we can align. We can bring fitness and family and philanthropy all together. And that can be the fundraising mechanism, get people of all ages exercising, fundraise that way. And then it replenishes a fund in his name, which then allows us to fund grants for leaders and teachers who have really neat visions. And these are things that are innovative, are higher in terms of tech, and maybe they need funding for that. They're more inclusive. They're supporting neurodiversity, DE&I initiatives in the schools, arts. We funded a really neat DE&I arts collaboration. And so all of that feels really good. It's been a stretchy project because I've never planned and executed a 5K. I'm fairly new to fundraising. It's been a great experience and felt like the right thing to do.
Well, that's cool that you get to keep your dad around that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So now for the main event. And I have to tell you, we have something common. I decided a long time ago that I would not make my life in professional dancing either. So I told you this earlier, I probably would have said no a decade ago, but I was offered the opportunity to join this Dancing with Our Stars. I think the foundation's really cool and have learned a lot. We'll talk about that. But why don't you start with a little bit about the Byron Saunders Foundation and why we're raising money and who that's for?
Sure. So through mutual connections, through networking, through an amazing man named Brian Wollenberg, I was introduced to a foundation he started called Byron Saunders Foundation. Not to be confused with him, his name is Brian and the foundation is Byron. So that'll make your wheels spin a little bit. But the foundation was established in memory of a friend of his. But the mission is really about feeding families at Thanksgiving. And what makes our mission so incredible, in my opinion, is that we are providing not only nourishment, but normalcy. So when a family has a need, they indicate that they have a need either directly to us or one of our partner organizations. And then we provide a meal box with all of the ingredients, including a gift card so they can procure a turkey to cook and have that memory and meal together. You know, very different experience than going to a food shelter and receiving it that way. Obviously, that's
actually what stood out when I first heard about it. That was what stood out, was that, you know, the memories of mom in the kitchen and my aunt and my mom cooking together and those types of things. And I do it now. And I cooked Thanksgiving dinner last year with my now daughter-in-law. She's my son's fiance. I did the meat and she did everything else.
Yeah.
That you remember those things. And then if you have a meal delivered, it's like, you know, I'm going to shrug my shoulder, eat my meal, shrug my shoulders and go back and watch the Lions or whatever you do on Thanksgiving Day. And this is ingredients that the family, they're going to create that normalcy, was one of the reasons it stood out to me that this was a little bit different than just raising money for food. It was raising money for that experience on Thanksgiving Day.
That's right. And a fun fact, because I've really interviewed our founder a lot to get all the historical elements. And, you know, his parents were really involved in the community and he'd met someone who was really committed to Christmas and making sure people were fed at Christmas. And this individual said to him, simply, why don't you take Thanksgiving? Like, let's divide and conquer. And, you know, how smart, because it's a very clear mission. It's a very clear commitment, and it's a really important need. And so it's an important niche that I think we're fulfilling. And we fed as many as 5,000 families in one season. And the behind the scenes operation of that is incredible. It's its own operating facility when we're set up to box everything. So there, I mean, there's just infinite ways that people could get involved and volunteer if this particular mission speaks to them. But yeah, that's kind of how I learned about Byron Saunders, was just through this networking and in time and through friendship. Truth be told, I went to the event. I went to the main event, Dancing with Our Columbus Stars. And being a dancer myself, I was really into it. And I was really impressed. I didn't know what to expect. But then when I was there that evening, I just had the best time. And I made the mistake, I joke, of going up to Brian afterwards. And I said, I'm mad at you. And he said, why? I said, because you didn't ask me to sponsor. And I said, this is a cool event. Like, I would have liked to have sponsored this. And he kind of was sheepish, because it's like, oh, you know, typically people are nervous to ask for sponsorship. And I was like, no, I'm mad you didn't ask me. And so at that point, I said, I really want to get involved. Can I be a judge? Can I, you know, help with, you know, something behind the scenes? I think judging would be really fun. I promise you I'll be funny and dynamic. But I made the mistake of saying all of that. I joke that now, because guess who's in charge of the whole event?
Yeah.
Like, whoa, this is a really big.
I mean, we've talked some today, probably the most that we've talked today, a couple times, you know, getting things set up. And I don't think that the Katie that I've met just jumps in like halfway. I think you go into the deep end. So I'm not surprised.
Oh, yes. So then it became, well, how about you become the chair of fundraising? And I said, oh boy. But again, I sat with it and I thought, I really do feel called to serve in this way. And this is my wheelhouse. I have event planning experience. Fundraising, admittedly, is new. I love sales and business, which is sharing what value you add and, you know, securing work. And so I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can secure sponsors just the same way. I'm not afraid of the ask. You know, some people are hesitant to ask people for things, but I'm not, fortunately. So I'm learning as I go. And here we are.
So from the main event, 5 o'clock at Villa Milano, 23rd of September. Every time I say that and look at the calendar, I get nervous.
Are you sweating?
No, I'm not sweating yet. But there, you know, the how do you help? You can go online, dancingwithcolumbusstars.com. Vote early and often for Doug Davidson and Brittany Vance. To be fair, vote early and often for any of your favorite dancers. If you're listening to this prior to September 15th, if you get a table, assign that table to one of the dancing pairs, because that's part of the voting process. The VIP selection, for those folks that are listening that love professional dance, there's a little networking beforehand. And I think we've got some dancers coming to that.
If you've always been a raving fan of Dancing with the Stars, we have a guest appearance by a professional dancer. It is now Anna Trebinskaya. She's a beautiful redhead. She was on the show for 10 years, professional dancer, and she'll be there doing a VIP meet and greet. You can also meet our other phenomenal judges who are our celebrity status, and it'll be a great way to kick off the night.
Well, and it seems like I looking at Monica Dominic, who is a good friend of mine and number one in the voting, that I know there's a number of people from our two firms that are going to show. And so just from a general networking, get to meet people you haven't met, that VIP piece will be important. That has the most impact. And then we dance, which most of us have been paired. Well, all of us have been paired with a professional dancer, and we're learning our thing. And, you know, the big reveal comes the night of the event, and there's a multitude of awards, and it does sound like a fun event. Although, like I said, every time I look at the calendar, I get a little more sweaty about it.
Well, many people have asked about the bar situation. There's a cash bar. So okay. Have a drink, relax.
Is that for the dancers?
You might need to relax. Yeah. I don't know. It'll be a great night of dinner, dancing, cocktails, networking, give back. I mean, it checks a lot of boxes. It'll be great.
Well, so this was to highlight you and to highlight the dance, but I have to tell you the experience I've had. Brittany Vance has been tremendous. I think I've danced twice in my life in any kind of a performance. I posted one of those. It was a GBQ YouTube video line dance that we did a few years ago. So not deep dancing skills, wrestled and coached wrestling and then played a lot of rugby. And Brittany's been very patient as I break dancing moves down like a wrestling move so that I can learn them. And it's been quite hilarious. It's a good thing.
You're all patterns. You're doing it.
It's a good thing there's not a bloopers video. Maybe there should be. I don't know. But
I'd like to catch a couple. That'd be great.
That would be hilarious. But, she's been tremendous. I know Monica's having fun. I don't know the other dancers. I have to assume that everybody's having a great time. First time to ever dance in front of a crowd will be, I think, if Villamont fills up, what, around 500 people?
I anticipate we will end up around 500, which is amazing. Yes.
I'm going to sweat. No. So we're here at the end. Again, go to the website, dancingwithcolumbusstars.com. Pick a pair, vote, pick multiple pairs and vote. The voting and the fun we're having dancing is really a way to channel money into the buying of those ingredients for meals. And so, you know, please, people, do that. There's an active Facebook group, the website. And then, you know, if you come to the night of the event, there'll be some more chances during the event to vote. And it seems like with the dancers that we have, we're going to have a fun crowd. So I appreciate being able to be involved. Thank you for that. I never thought I would say that either.
Well, thank you.
It's been a great story. So let's talk one more time, final countdown, a little bit more about you. What did you dream of becoming when you were in middle school?
Oh, gosh, a Rockette. But for your entertainment, I'm only 5'2¾". And so it was not possible.
When we're young, we all have big dreams. Yeah. Who inspires you?
Oh, I'm going to be a little vague. One of the things that inspires me the most is when I meet another woman in business who has had some type of adversity to overcome. And then there they are before me, better and stronger than ever before. And so I've had a series of these where I've met a woman in business, overcome adversity, and that just shows me that there are ups and downs in this entrepreneurial roller coaster, but it always comes back up, and I believe that.
What is your favorite life hack?
Oh, I just shared this with a group last week. You know, there's this saying, never go to bed angry.
Yes.
I disagree. I think if you're angry or you have a fight with your significant other, you should go to bed. I think when people are tired, they are terrible versions of themselves. And so there's actually a lot of evidence. I know a lot about sleep hygiene. There's a lot of evidence. And I know a lot about stress that when we sleep, we essentially metabolize the stress, I say. And we bounce back, become more resilient. And so we're always going to get to a better resolution when we're rested than when we're tired. So always sleep it off first.
What has been your most valuable failure?
It was a very difficult decision to dissolve my initial business. But what happened is I birthed two businesses and one was significantly more effective than the other. And so it was humbling in a sense, but it was also exciting that here I've birthed two different businesses, two different models, and one proved to be significantly more profitable and more meaningful to me and we're where we needed to be. But I had to say goodbye to something in the process, but it was well worth it.
What the euphemism is fail up.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, I learned what didn't work and I learned what did. Yeah.
And last question, you work hard. How do you play to balance your life out? And this is weird asking a wellness person because you study this a little bit more than my other guests have. So how do you balance?
That's right. Well, I am the classic work hard, play hard personality. And so what works for me is I'm very motivated by having things to look forward to. So every Tuesday night, my husband and I go to Taco Tuesday. Like we're talking like 100 weeks in a row, Taco Tuesday. So there's always Taco Tuesday date night. Every other Friday night, we have date night and we have dance lessons before date night. So I layer lots of fun immediately into my week and it keeps me going. I like to work hard, play hard. And normally that's eating out.
So I lied a little bit. There's one more question.
Oh, okay.
What's the best taco in Columbus?
Oh, it's the Crunch Wheezy.
Okay.
Have you heard of the Crunch Wheezy?
It's at local
cantina.
At local cantina. Yes.
Yes.
I have heard. Probably had one of those.
Get a Crunch Wheezy. Yes. You're welcome.
So Katie Tomball says Crunch Wheezies on Tuesdays and you'll live your life better.
That's right.
And if you need help with your business culture and wellness, or even as an individual, wellnesscollective.com.
That's right.
And then hopefully people that listen to this will, hopefully they'll vote for me. Now, hopefully they'll contribute to the Byron Saunders Foundation and help us feed people this Thanksgiving.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Time's up. Thanks for listening to this episode of Empower Hour. Join us next time by subscribing to Empower Hour on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or your preferred listening platform. Want more GBQ? We don't blame you. Visit us online at gbq.com for the business news and advice that matters most. Who is empowering your growth?